Welcome to Moms in the Wild with Kate
and Kara,
where we laugh at our wild moments to make you feel better about yours.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Moms in the Wild.
We're here. We're ready.
We are here.
Ready, willing, and able.
As ready as we can be.
Exactly.
Do you want to start with your wild mom moment?
Yeah, and I'm bringing it back to the boobs. I know we've missed them. I know we've wanted to talk about them. This actually happened today, and I was like, ooh, what great timing.
I love it.
So I'm at a point with pumping that I, one, probably don't need to, but I just like the baby to have milk for the following day.
Right.
So I was at work doing that, but I'm at the point where like I forget that I need to pump sometimes. So I wear whatever the fuck I want, which is not conducive to pumping. So today I had a full like neck high long sleeve dress on that had a slip under it. And I was like, oh, I have to remove the dress to be able to pump. Yep. So I removed the dress and I like pumped. And then the slip dress is what you would imagine. Like it's like a little tank top slip dress. And so I was like doing stuff. I was like getting a bunch of stuff done while I was pumping. I was feeling really great about myself. Had to go to the copier to make some copies, like took all my pump stuff off, pulled my slip dress up and just walked out of my office and only a slip. And then I had to be like, I'm in this as I was standing at the copier. Like I'm not in, one, I'm not in the dress I came in. And two, I'm not in a work appropriate dress. I'm now in like a club dress at best. I was in my office where like it's a single floor office. So all of the office is just an open space.
Nice. And no one said
anything because I guess they're nice. But I walked out and like Med Records is right outside my office. And I was like, did anyone notice that I walked out in a slip? And one of the girls was like, yeah, I did. Your door said pumping before. So I figured that's what was. I was like, great. Excellent. Next time, let me know.
Yeah. Next time, be like, halt.
Do not
turn around.
Yeah. Take a look, just look down at yourself and see if you feel I should wear this in an office environment. And if the answer is no, turn it back around and put your regular dress back on. Yeah, it wasn't a great moment, but I made it through.
Yeah. Everyone's fine.
You know what? That was probably a nice little treat. Showing off the bod in the office. I'm sure everyone liked it.
I would have.
What's your wild mom moment?
Okay. So mine was a few months ago and I have a three-year-old who is a full three-nager, and he's just fucking mean sometimes. Like, he just is mean to me. He says things to hurt my feelings on purpose. This is the difference. I will tell you, this is good. This is what's going to change your life. When they're two, they're mean, but I don't think it's intentional all the time.
They're just, I say whatever comes into my head. Yeah.
Right. And they really start to hurt your feelings at two. Three, it is 100% of the time fucking choice to be mean and rip your heart out. And that is where things get dangerous.
Well, yeah. Today I choose violence. All right, three-year-old.
Yeah.
You're still very little.
That is what, yeah, three is tough because they are mean on purpose and you know it's on purpose.
Yeah, because they'll make a certain face where you're like, oh, you know you're trying to be mean.
Yeah. And it's things that like he will just store them in the back of his head. Like he just kind of like got a little like taste that maybe it's something that would make me sad and he'll just keep it back there and then just come out with it in the moment. It's great. I've just devoted my life to like taking care of this child. But
you're like, thank God I shower you in love and affection, bathe you, feed you so that you can call me a cunt to raise my face. Excellent. Excellent.
Basically, in toddlerese, that's what I get. So I was, and it's always, here's when it's extra, like just a knife to your heart, is when you're doing something fun for them.
Yeah.
And then they choose to like be an asshole. Like, I don't even want to be here, bro. Like, this is for you. So this is one of those moments we were out and I needed to change him and he didn't love that. So I bring him in. He's not thrilled about it because we have to leave fun time to go change. He's the one who shit in public. So like, not my fault.
Have to change you. This has been a thing since the day you were born.
Already not my fault.
Yeah.
I still want his friends to like him. So I don't want to be like running around stinky. So that's also not on me. Yeah. So I take him in and from like the second we get in the bathroom, he's like, go away, mommy. I don't like you, mommy. Go away, mommy. Oh, yeah. Just over and over again. Okay.
And you're like, great. I love this for me.
So I did a quick peek at the bathroom to see like how much I needed to manage this. And I looked into the stalls and I didn't see anyone. Okay. So I'm like, you know what? I don't fucking care. I don't care. You're not going to get me today. Okay.
Not today, sir. Not today.
You're not penetrating my joy.
You can say whatever you want to me.
Making me feel bad about myself. Like it's fully like hyping myself up to deal with a bully.
Yeah.
He's the whole time saying mean things. Go away, mommy. I don't want you near me, mommy. Like, oh yeah. Just yeah. And so I change him the whole time. And as I'm like strapping his diaper, his fresh clean diaper on, one of the stalls opens and I'm like, yeah. Oh no. Because I have done nothing to like stop this from happening or like try to curb it. I've just gone into like full like battered parent syndrome where I am just like disassociating. Dude, yes.
Also, like if you had fed into it, he might have done it more. Do you know what right. I mean? Like there's nothing to say if you were like, all right, like, you know, you're hurting my feelings or that's not a nice thing to say. You would have been like, fuck you. You know? So yeah, I totally get being like, I'm gonna disassociate for the rest of this diaper change. That's how we're gonna get through it.
So the stall opens and we lock eyes and I'm like, oh no. And she didn't really say anything. And so I'm like pulling his pants up and she, as she's leaving the bathroom, she looks at me and she goes, my son does the exact same thing to me. And I want to let you know, you're doing a really good job.
Aww.
And just like, didn't wait for me to respond and just like walked out. And I was like, thank you so much.
Thank you. That was so validating. Oh my God. I love when people do that. That is my favorite mom thing is I love when you like a mom is like, you're nailing it as your kid's like spitting in your eye. You're like, yeah, I'm trying my best. Honestly, best I'm trying my best.
Yeah, it was nice because you're like,
I hope you looked at Bubba and went, see, do you see? Yeah. Do you see what a good mommy I am? Get the fuck off that shitter and let's go. What a wholesome mom moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just gives you like the extra zest you need for the day. Yeah. Where you're like, oh no, I can still do this. Even though you're, you know, being a butthead to me right now, we can make it through.
And then they just go out and he just went back to playing, being nice to everybody but me. So.
And acting like nothing happened.
Yep.
That's, I don't, the amount of times even now that this child will just pretend like nothing has happened and has just ruined whatever, not even ruined, I've lost all expectation of anything's going to be fun or good again ever. Anytime we even do something where I'm like, this is for you. I'm like, nah, you hate it. Let's pack it up. Pack it up. We're going.
It's not fun anymore.
You gotta get out.
I know. What's the point?
Yeah.
Okay. So today we are talking about a topic that's been on our list since the
forever.
Yeah. The emergence of Moms in the Wild, which is intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
I was gonna say we should have done a drum roll. Intrusive thoughts.
So, I think before we start, just for my own mental health. I just want to say, these are not thoughts I'm comfortable with thinking, let alone saying out loud. So if all those listening could just give us a little bit of grace this episode, because we're getting very, this is to me is perhaps the most vulnerable thing we've talked about.
Yeah. And if you're someone that hasn't experienced intrusive thoughts, then it probably does sound like exceptionally scary because it is usually very scary stuff. And there are individuals that are predisposed to intrusive thoughts outside of motherhood, like individuals with anxiety and OCD and certain mental health diagnoses, but also part of like motherhood and postpartum depression and things like that, you become more susceptible to have intrusive thoughts. Yeah, like you said, nobody, I'm not like rearing to go when I have these. Usually I literally go, and I shut up.
Yeah.
These are not thoughts that I'm like, excellent. Let me rest my head upon my pillow. They're really scary.
Yes. And I will say, like, I will speak for both of us here. They're never thoughts that are like, and now I will act on them.
No, no.
So, like, right. Yeah. So I just want to make that extremely clear before we start this conversation.
And also there are resources. Like if you are at a point in your life, pregnancy, postpartum, just whoever's listening to this and you're just having some, you know, if you're uncomfortable, I think a lot of the time we don't want to talk about it, but it's so important that you do. So that way, again, you can kind of manage them the best you can and that your intrusive thoughts don't necessarily become actions, right? Most of the time with intrusive thoughts is exactly what they are. And that's why they're so scary, is just because you're like, how can my brain think these horrible thoughts? But you can, like you and I know have talked about ours. If you can find a friend or a therapist or a family member, it's really helpful to kind of just like get that out. And then also, again, come up with some ways to help manage them, so you're not feeling like you're losing your mind all the time.
Yes.
Or like you're like at any point, any day going to become a serial killer, like any day now.
Yeah.
No one likes to feel that way.
No. So I think like if you haven't had intrusive thoughts, like I thought we could just say some like maybe more general ones that people could experience.
Do you want me to talk about ones that I had like before, like my regular intrusive thoughts that have nothing to do with pregnancy? Yeah. So my regular, I am predisposed to have intrusive thoughts, and my like very, I would say on a daily basis, people are going to be like, nah, we didn't need to know this about you. My intrusive thoughts that are the most recurrent and most like, I don't like. One is, I don't know, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable. One is that I have all the time. If someone's on the sidewalk and I'm in the car, I will be like, what if I just hit this person with my car? Like regular, I would say a once a day intrusive thought that happens to me if I see someone on the sidewalk and I'm driving.
Right.
The other one that I have very often is a broken limb one, which is like, what if this person just fell off the curb and their leg snapped in half? What would that be like? Oh, those are like very regular intrusive thoughts that I have, and they come out of, they have nothing to do with anything. That's right. Why they're called intrusive thoughts. Do I want to jump the curb and hit a person? Nope. No. Certainly don't. Do I want my brain to think about that? No. I would prefer it didn't. Do I want to watch someone fall off a curb and break their leg? Nah, that's not something I want to see.
Horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad day. I would go home and report I've had a bad day if Chris asked me at the end of that day. So yeah, they're not thoughts that have really anything necessarily to do with anything, one. Right. And also, you're not wanting to think them. That's why they're called intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. So the example I was going to give too is like when you're driving over a bridge, like what if I just drove off the bridge?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's those are all relatable of like, what if I just did this? You know,
what if I just ran into this wall full speed? Then you're like, what the fuck? Why did that happen? So they could be as simple as that. What if I ate this entire tray of brownies? What would happen to me? You know, sometimes it's just random shit that you're like, don't need to think about. And your brain just, I don't know, does it. I would like to know more of the science of intrusive thoughts. Didn't do enough of that research before we hopped on here, but.
Nope. Yeah, I didn't either. One of mine that is like, was before I had kids, is especially in moments of like, I won't say conflict because I don't think I've had a lot of like conflict moments in my life, but moments of like maybe perhaps it could go down that road. Like if I've been in a job where like maybe my boss is like telling me like they're not happy with me about something, or like I'm in an argument with a friend, or like it's whatever. One of my intrusive thoughts is like, what if I just screamed like a fucking psychopath in this person's face right now?
That's a great one. Like, yeah. Yeah, that feels, and it makes you, first, sometimes those ones, like, the hitting the person like car doesn't make me feel better, but there are ones that are like, what would that cathartic release be like? Like, just, what if I just punched this person in the face? That's another one I have, but it's not as frequent. And these are like strangers. Sometimes it's not always confrontational. I'm like, what if I just punched that stranger in the face? Right. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. Don't know why my brain thought that thought.
Yeah.
But there it is.
It's that whole thing of like capability playing with like your brain. Like, you know, like all of these things are like things we're all capable of.
Oh, 100%.
Like I could just scream in someone's face anytime I wanted to. You could just jump the curb and hit someone with your car.
Definitely. Like, yeah.
All capable, which I think makes them scarier when they are like more real. You're already in a diminished capacity, which you are, especially when you first enter motherhood.
Definitely.
State. Yeah.
And I also like, it seems like something that is purposely meant to like give you the ick. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It seems like your brain's way of being like, but don't. there's a world of possibilities at your disposal. One of them includes hitting that person with the car, and one of them includes continuing to drive straight, choose to drive straight. Like just this weird like navigational system. Yeah. Like how weird are you today? How are you? Did you eat? Did you drink? Where are you at? Did you sleep? What's going on with you?
Are you off the rails yet or not?
Yeah. How are you feeling? And so I do think, yeah. And it's, again, it is scary because it kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a productive thought. It's not like a daydream or a fantasy or like, this is what I'm going to do later. Here's a fake argument in my head that I'm never going to have just to like suss it out, or memories. It's just real scary shit that pops into your head suddenly.
just flies out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will say definitely intrusive thoughts got worse for me once Bubba was here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started to notice that they were like I said, you have a baby, but no matter what your birth experience looked like, nobody walks out of birth and it's like, you know what? I feel refreshed, mentally stable. Like, and then that only gets worse because you're not sleeping. You don't have any time to relax. You don't have any time to like catch up to like feel like a person again for a long time. So for me, I always find that when I am physically diminished, my mental capacity is also at the same level of diminishment or more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was when I think the first like really truly like terrifying intrusive thoughts started for me was when I became a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine have always been a little scary, but I will say like they mostly would involve strangers or me. I think what's scary about intrusive thoughts about your kids is that they involve this thing that you love a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do, like you said, I think that can get really scary, especially if they're not always easy to talk about, as we'll discover in this episode. Because also I feel like there's a lot of things you feel like that don't necessarily safeguard you and your kid, right? Like if you were to, at your 6-week appointment, look at your OB and be like, sometimes I just wonder, what if I let their head slip underwater in the bathtub? They're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Don't wonder that, you know? Or I guess they wouldn't necessarily do that. They'd be like, let's get you some help. But you feel like they're going to do that. Or you're like, someone's going to take my child away because I'm having these really intense, like really intense thoughts about whatever it is. Just like sometimes it's very benign stuff or sometimes it's just really scary stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard to talk about them.
And it's like those, like you're holding the baby and you're like, what if I just dropped them?
All the time.
Yeah. And it's not even like, here's the difference to me that where it started to like get, these got more scary for me was like, it changed from like, what if I did drop them to, but what if I did drop them? You know, like that's the difference, is that tiny little like inflection on the word. Like, what if I did drop him? And then, but what if I did drop him? Like those, like, you know, that's the difference between like, I think that's like when an intrusive thought is categorized as one for me, is that like kind of like, but what if, you know, like that.
Or like, what if I just left them alone for a day in the house? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like being like, but you don't even go down that trail of like, what would happen? What would that be like necessarily? It's just literally that one blurb thought that's like, what would it be like if I forgot them at the house all day?
Yeah.
It's like, oh God. But they do. And I had drop the kid, but like in all surfaces. What if I drop him down the stairs? What if I smack her head against a wall while I'm turning into a door? Do you know what I mean? Like all of these like injurious things that could happen.
Yeah. And that was a lot for me, was like around him being hurt, I think. And maybe that is just like, that's one of your biggest fears, right? Especially as you are new with a new life. That's like your worst fear, is that they get hurt, especially under your care at your own hands, you know? So I don't know. It's such a weird thing that like, that's even something that happens.
Yeah. Like,
why?
Some of mine were ridiculous too. Like I would not be cooking anything and I'd be like, but what if I dropped her in the oven?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like we would be like in the bedroom, not near the oven. Same thing with like the washer and dryer. Where I'd be like, but if the baby, like, what if she fell in the washer? Like, and then also too, like those ones for me were usually like that shutter response, which is like, why is my brain thinking about this? Like, in no uncertain terms, has this baby been near the oven ever in my whole life? Why suddenly would I trip and she would gravitate over to the oven? Just like, that doesn't make any logical sense at all whatsoever. And never have I thought about that of any other human. I never looked at Chris and thought, what if Chris falls in the oven? Or any other baby that didn't belong to me. Like, I've never held another baby. Like, Bubba. I didn't hold Bubba as a baby and go, oh, what if I dropped him in the oven?
I think it has a lot to do with, like, the mindfuck that is, like, being solely responsible for a whole nother life.
Yeah.
Like, you were never responsible for Chris's life. Mm-mm. Like, you know,
no.
But this tiny helpless potato you now are in charge of, and that like is a lot of responsibility when you're diminished. And it's also things that like are their possibilities. You could drop her in the oven. You could drop her in the washing machine. You know,
I have an oven. You know, and I have a baby now. Right. So both of those pieces play out.
It's that like that capability or like possibility, you know?
I think it's the possibility and the ability of your brain and you, because, you know, your brain is part of you, to have those thoughts. I think that's what the scary part of it is too, is, again, even if you're someone that's just like showering your child with love and you love them a bunch, then having like these tiny like little blurbs pop up throughout the day, it does make you feel fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
Like it makes you feel like, what the fuck is going on in this head of mine that I could possibly think about this absolute worst case scenario happening and me being the person that does it.
Right. And like what kind of person that's when
yeah,
they true. Go, yeah. What kind of person am I to even think this? And should I be around this child if I'm thinking these thoughts? And you know, those are the things where then the rabbit hole, you just fall down the rabbit hole.
And that's when I really struggled in, especially with like during my like bottoming out of postpartum depression, which we'll do another episode on that where we can talk more about it, but was the idea of having intrusive thoughts and then coming to the conclusion to be like, oh, it's because I shouldn't have her. Like someone else right. would do much better. And then also reaching the conclusion from there being like, well, if I can't parent her, like what's the point? You know what I mean? Like if yeah. I've made the conclusion that I'm not a fit parent for her and now like this is a huge part of my purpose in life, like what the fuck am I doing? But a lot of that would stem from having like very like instantaneous intrusive thoughts, you know, that come out of would come out of nowhere. Like it wouldn't be like, I wouldn't always be diminished. Like I could be having like a fine day and I would just be like thinking scary shit out of what felt like nowhere, you know, upon looking at it, there may be some, you know, evidence that maybe I would needed to be taking better care of myself. But even on days where, like I said, they felt overall like good days, I was still having these thoughts that I didn't feel like I could manage.
Yeah. I think that even happens for me still now. Like one of my like most repeated intrusive thoughts is like, I just want this to end.
Yes.
Like, and that can be in like any type of situation, but like, that's something that like, first of all, it's scary. Cause like a lot of implication that, but then like, also like, it'll be stuff that like, what? Like, this is fine. You know, like that's weird that I'm thinking this. It's not even a situation where like anything's like bad or intense or, you know, annoying.
Yeah. But you're like, I need for all of the everything to be over with. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's very overwhelming.
Yeah. Then you're like, wait.
Hold on. Where am I going with this thought?
Yeah.
I see their trajectory. Don't know if I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah.
One that I had a lot when she was a newborn, which would have been in like, it never would have happened because she hated the car so much, but was like, what would happen if I forgot her in the car, or I'm going to forget her in the car, was like a constant one that I had. Now I would be more likely to do that because she actually sleeps in the car sometime, but I don't have that thought anymore. But that would be like a regular one that I had too.
One that I've had since I became a mom that is more regular is if I'm driving by myself and I have like a moment to myself, I'll think like, what if I did get in a car accident? And then I could just go to the hospital and just have a fucking break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a very real one for me.
Like, what if this tree just fell on my car and then I get to go?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I get to go. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, and then I got to go to the hospital.
Like this hospital stay, hotel stay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that definitely I still will think sometimes. Like, oh, but then I just, you know, you get a break. Like,
yeah, we all need a little help sometimes. I think that's also an overarching theme of this particular episode, which is but a lot of people have intrusive thoughts, especially after you have a baby, especially concerning that baby. And sometimes you just need to talk about it.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily need someone to normalize them. If that person's concerned about the intrusive thoughts you're having, if you're talking to someone that loves you and supports you, they'll probably identify that.
Yeah.
And be like, wow, those are really, really intense. Why don't we get someone else in here, maybe a professional that can also talk us through this. Lean on those a little bit. If it's starting to scare you, which rightfully so, you know, then maybe it is time to like call in someone else. That's not only you living in your own head, you know, that might be the point that you get to be like, I'm having these thoughts and I want to talk them out. And a lot of the time it's just reflecting on, is this a thought or is this like a plan, and am I thinking about it multiple times where I'm assessing like there's a timeline or a reason I'm going to do this or a way I'm going to do this, or not just again that blurb of thought where then you're kind of taken aback by it or shocked by it. You know, if you're having these thoughts and then having like a plan that goes along with it, definitely call someone. But having just the thought, I don't think is that absurd or
no,
not no, 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 no. Have just the thought.
Yeah. And I think everybody has them, like whether you have kids, you're a parent or not, those, like even this, the simple ones of like, what if I drove off the bridge? What if I punched this glass window? You know, like,
yeah, just random shit that your brain says, like, yeah. You're going to think about this creepy shit for a second.
Yeah, that's, I think, so normal. And sometimes all you need to do is like get that out of your head.
And finding someone that you trust. I know I talk to people that when they're having intrusive thoughts, especially things that involve themselves or their children, they feel like it's difficult to speak to even some professionals like primary care or a therapist or whoever you're disclosing right. this to. Because I do think there's this underlying fear that we have a system that may not be on your side, right? So if someone's trying to make a case that you're an unfit parent, you know, that's pretty easy. It seems like that's pretty easy evidence to make that case. But it's really about finding someone that's special, that works with individuals that are postpartum or works with individuals that are predisposed to having intrusive thoughts to kind of help to guide you in that and talking about in a safe space and not letting that deter you that you think someone's going to feel. I think because you get in, not you, the royal you, collective you, like we have a tendency to get in our own head and own space all the time to be like, this is too crazy. This is too much. I can't talk about this to anyone. But then that just further stigmatizes it. And also it's a heavy burden to carry if you're not talking to anyone else about it.
Yeah. And like talking about it takes away some of its power. If not all of it.
For me, I feel like my intrusive thoughts are passive. Most of my intrusive thoughts, I will say that, are like these passive fleeting thoughts. Yeah, yeah. And anytime that I feel like they've become more concrete than that, which is typically again been, which I kind of alluded to, but it has been more self-harm focused. That's when I would be like, okay, I need to obviously talk to someone else about this. But I don't, I think I'm very lucky that I have a support system that listens to that and understands that. And also, I don't know, insight and resources to be able to do that, which I don't, I don't know if a lot of people have that.
I think a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you do tell people, I think if like, I will say if you tell someone, it may freak them out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm sure there are people that maybe haven't had intrusive, or maybe they just don't acknowledge that they're intrusive, not acknowledge. They may not just recognize that they're intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
I always thought they were a normal thing all the time. But then when I tell people sometimes about my like hopping off the curb and murdering someone, they're like, well, that's not great. I'm like, really? You never thought about a little homicide on your way to work?
Yeah.
I think you're a liar.
That's another one of those moments where you're like, oh, how does it feel to be mentally stable?
Yeah. Like, that doesn't. Oh, it's not. Intrusive thoughts are not like a regular, every day, every person kind of thing.
Got it.
Are you all just walking around with pleasant thoughts? Good for you.
Anyways, what are you making for dinner tonight?
I mean, I've never thought about that either. I'm totally kidding. I wanted to see if you were weird.
Yeah, I saw that on a TikTok. Don't worry about it.
Don't even just forget I said anything at all.
You can pull what Bubba says now is when he says something and like we can't really understand. He'll go, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. That's what I do. I was like, oh no, a friend told me that. I was just using first person to make it interesting. Don't listen to anything I say.
Yeah, I was watching this TikTok where this girl was ordering her Starbucks drink and the barista was not like really getting like how complicated it was. And for some reason she was like, I don't know, it's for a friend. And then she like looked at the camera. She's like, why the fuck did I just say that?
I don't know, it's for a friend.
I don't know, it's for a friend.
Taking zero responsibility that she's like fucking up some barista's day. She's like, I don't know, man. This is for my friend. My dad like doesn't do like any, he's like tea, black coffee, and nothing in it.
Right.
And so anytime anyone in our family wants to order anything that's not that, he's like, write it down. I'm gonna hand it to him. And I'm like, handing them like a give me all your money note. Just slips like a like iced mocha across the fucking cashier desk.
All right. He's like, take this, don't ask any questions.
Yeah, take this, don't ask anything. Because honestly, I don't know the answer. So they wrote it down. My family wrote it down for me.
That's
what an interesting interaction. Can you imagine being like a barista or any employee anywhere and a man just comes in and goes, this is what I want. And if you need to substitute anything, don't.
Don't ask.
Just I can't handle it. It's a lot of pressure.
Like, do you want oat milk or almond milk? He's like,
I want you to shut the fuck up and make what's on the list. So I don't get berated by my family when I get home.
Oh, Bob.
Love him. Love him.
Oh my God.
He's just trying
hilarious.
To do the best he can for everyone. So I do have a question. What are things that you do that usually help with, like, if you have an intrusive thought and it like throws you for a little bit, or you just are like, what is going on? Have you found things that kind of help you to talk yourself back down?
Something that I have tried to do, especially since like going, like trying to conceive for as long as we did and like being pregnant, is I really like think there is value in taking time, giving those scary thoughts and feelings space and time. I think that I get myself in trouble when I immediately just try to like push it away, or I'm like, don't think about that. Don't think about that. Don't think about that. So like giving myself a minute to be like, well, wait, like you don't want to, why do you want to do that? Like check in with myself, you know, like when, like the thought I had it today where like I was, Bella and I were playing outside and he threw a stick at my face, which is a whole thing. And I grabbed him by the hand, brought him inside. We did time out and then we had a whole conversation about it. But in that moment of like trying to get him inside so he could go, you know, take the time, the break, and then have a conversation, I had that thought of like, I just want this to end. And I did like a really quick, I brought him into his, and I kind of like let that marinate for a second, brought him, got him situated in his little chair so we could have like, we have a little bit of quiet time so we can all settle down and then we'll have like a conversation. And in that quiet time, I kind of just checked in with myself, like, what was that about? Like, was it that like you wanted him to stop screaming and just come in? You wanted like to not be here anymore? You wanted him to not be here anymore? Like, what was it, you know? And ultimately, this is a shitty situation and I do want it to be over. But for me, like, I want this to end as a very like dramatic, like definitely intrusive thought type. It's like frame of mind. And so I think just like giving myself that space to really like think through it and be like, you don't want it to end. Like, that's so silly. Like, but also like honoring that, like that sucked. Everything's okay. But the ones that I've had that are scary get extra scary when I do just push them down. And I'm like, don't think about that. Don't. And then just like, if you have them twice or you have them three times, then that starts to be like, okay, is there something wrong with me? There's got to be.
Yeah.
What about you?
I like similarly, I at least like take a pause because I have found that the more that I try to like stifle something to be like, just don't even pretend you didn't think about it, or like, don't do it. It then becomes more of like a thought loop where it will just happen with more frequency, similar to like most like emotions, even, you know, if you try to like sweat, like just push your emotions down, I feel like that makes whatever that emotional expression is longer, whether it's like crying or you're feeling guilty or angry. I feel like the more you try to repress it, the more it comes out. And I'm that way with intrusive thoughts, which is if I'm like, don't think about that, or like, don't do that, then it seems to be more recurrent. And so honestly, just pausing and being like, is something going on that made you feel that way? Or you are not doing this, or you're not going to do this. And they're like,
right.
Yeah. What if I drop my baby? And it's like, but you're not, you have right. a firm hold on her. You don't want to drop her. Like, you're not wanting to drop her in this moment. Or if it's like, I'm needing a break, like, do you want to go and put her down? Is like that why this is wiggled into your head? Cause you're like feeling physically drained and you need to put her down and kind of just take a pause. Because I also don't think, like, for me, it's never been helpful to just be like, don't think about that. Or like, I can't believe you thought that, kind of just letting it pass. And it does. Mine have typically always been just like this fleeting thought. And that's exactly what it is. You know, I don't ruminate on them for long periods of time, typically. And if I was to ruminate on it for a long period of time, that would be a point where I would talk to someone, whether it's like a friend or family member or my therapist. That would be when I'd kind of bring it up. If I'm like, nah, I'm a little freaked out by this. Like, I'm not feeling great about this intrusive thought, or that I'm having it more like frequently. And also just like the rational part of my brain that can then do some thinking is like, yeah, I have no interest in walking out of the house and leaving my baby unattended on the bed. That's not something I actually want to do. That's actually doesn't sound pleasant and very not safe.
Right.
So I'm not going to do that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like the key, is like taking the pause. Yeah. Another thing that I have is sometimes I will be just like looking at Bubba and I'll get a visual of something really bad happening
to him. Yep.
Same. Yeah. Like someone taking him and what would follow afterwards and like really bad, scary Same. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll like, it's like weird. Like it's like a flash of like it happening. And those can get really scary because you're like, oh my God, why would I ever think that, you know? But I think that is just, for me, it's my, just my fears that in that moment, it's like, that would be the worst thing ever. Or, you know, like, I don't know.
Those ones I have a harder time engaging with. Like the ones that are just I have an image or like a flash of her getting like really severely hurt, not by anything that's happened, like that Chris and I are doing, but just like a tragic accident or something.
Yeah.
And those ones I will have that. I still like, those ones are harder for me to be like, why am I having this? Because it seems completely out of my will and control. And so those ones that when I do have them, I do have a harder time like taking a pause. Those ones are just still very scary, less frequent than any other thought that I've ever had, but like I will still, same thing, get like this little flash of like exactly what you just said. So if if someone broke in and just grabbed her and like I couldn't catch them.
Yeah.
But it'll be like a picture of that happening, not just the thought. Yes. And I have to be like, and go pick her up.
right.
Got scared.
Those aren't ones I like ruminate on either. Those are the ones I'm like, like try to just like mentally
let it pass.
Even like physically shake my head and just Same. Like, nope. Like get out of there, you know?
That's but a really healthy somatic response actually, to like do something with your body. It's physically, like that thought blocking where you like physically like shake or like do something. Yeah. It's so, it's such a good way to be like, oh no, okay, turn, pivot.
That's something I do with my anxiety is my anxiety manifests, which I'm sure for a lot of people it's the same, but mine specifically manifests physically in my body to where like I will start to get anxious and my heart will start to race. So I'll be anxious that my heart is racing and then I'll start to breathe fast. So I'll be anxious that my heart is racing and I'm breathing fast and I can't take a good deep breath. And it's like that, like that's, you know, and then there's pressure in my head because I'm not breathing a lot. So now I have like, you know, it's that, that's something like I have like adopted healthily or not, but I will like sometimes like put a really hard like hand on my chest and kind of like give myself like a physical like snap out of it, or like I'll like stand up and like shake a little bit like, or like just like do a quick head shake and like, you know, like everything's fine, like just like a snap out of it, you know?
Yeah, it's a good way for your body to process it.
Yeah, a lot of the time, or like in a situation where maybe I couldn't be so like outward about it, I will like pinch the inside of my arm, you know, like do things like that to like. And you're right, it is just grounding, but it's like those are just grounding techniques, but it's a like a physical, oh, that helps me a lot, is like anything I can like kind of pair with a physical aid is really, really helpful for me.
Yeah. And the idea too of like that movement, or even if you are in a space where like you can just get up and walk somewhere else, and you're giving the body the release that it needs to like fulfill that need of flight. Like if you're in that moment of panic, of course you're not actually running from something, but you're giving that response to your body of like, I need movement. I need to get up. I'm in danger. I need to get out of it, to be able to just get up and move spaces. So any of that like shaking, and you know what, like if you look at like, if you've ever seen two like dogs fight or like get into it, they do that when they walk away from each other. Yeah. They're like, ooh, and shake it off. Yeah. And it is just that like that moment is over. We're cool, bro. And then they shake to like enter the new moment. So it is a really good way to just your body be like, we need to start over and shake.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift knew it. Shake it off. Good job, T-Swift.
I also love a mantra. Like I will come up with a mantra about anything. Like I'll be like, even something as simple as like, that's not going to happen. And then anytime I like feel it creeping back or like it comes again, I'll just say that over and over and over and over and over to myself, and like until it like loses its meaning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I love a mantra. I can make a mantra about anything.
Yeah, I love it. So you gotta do gotta do what you gotta do. I'm a big counter, which also I'm predisposed because of other mental health stuff. It does bring me peace.
Counting is good.
I do a lot. Yeah, I do a lot of the counting. I'm a big step counter. That's something I also just do regularly. But in times of high stress, I do like have an internal, even if I'm talking, like in my head, I'm absolutely counting. Doesn't matter if I'm counting things. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Something's happening where I'm absolutely counting. There's a lot of my brain present in what's happening, but there's also Carolyn's indoor voice counting some shit.
Now that this has turned into just a general anxiety talk,
love it.
I will do this thing that I didn't realize I did it until like last year, but I've been doing this my whole life. It has to do with anxiety, but I will do it in times of like quiet peace as well. Is if I am watching a show or like listening to someone talk, or it has to be something that like I'm not thinking on my own. It's like something I'm hearing. I will take a word that I hear and I will draw in cursive on my leg, like over really? And over again. Yeah. Yeah. Like I will write the word like leg. I'll do like leg, 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 leg. And I won't even realize I'm doing it. And then I'll look down and I'm like, what are you doing? Stop. You know, like, but it'll be like, yeah.
Just it's crazy. I do it like, all right.
All the time. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like constantly, or like on a pillow, I'm constantly just like my little index finger is hard at work writing cursive.
I am writing these things in cursive. I love it.
Yeah, it's coping, right? We just all cope in our own different ways.
In whatever way you can.
Yeah. Bubba uses passies. I use cursive finger writing.
That's all you need. I use cursive finger. Two books that I did want to bring up, and I don't have the authors because I'm a clown. And I can't think of them off the top of my head. I'm so sorry. Good Moms Have Scary Thoughts is a good one.
Ooh.
Talks a lot about intrusive thoughts. And Dropping the Baby and Other Scary Thoughts, Breaking the Cycle of Unwanted Thoughts in Motherhood is another really good book.
I like that.
So if you're a reader and you're having some intrusive thoughts and you're also a parent, you know, grab these books and see how you feel about them. We'll link them wherever you'll be able to find them.
I think ultimately, like, the thing that helps me is A, talking about it, but B, it is helpful to me for people to hear it and not be like appalled or say like, oh, I've had the same thing. Or, and even if they are like, oh, that's a little scary, like just getting it out and having it be received is helpful to me. So I hope at the very least, if you also struggle with intrusive thoughts, just listening to us talk about it is helpful.
Yeah.
Because
it's a very scary place to be, especially if you've never, ever had them. Like if you've never had an intrusive thought before and now suddenly you've entered parenthood and you're like, oh, I'm a psychopath. That's the only, the only explanation is I'm a psychopath. I think that's terrifying. It can't be.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It can be terrifying when you're an old veteran with them, you know, like me, like I'm still like, ooh, no, yucky.
Don't love that for myself.
Yeah,
don't
it's
love
funny.
That my brain created that little thing. That makes me uncomfortable with myself.
I know. I'm going to expose us here and it makes us seem really lame, but we probably are. We did ask our listeners to send us some intrusive thoughts and nobody did. And I think that that is a big sign of how hard it is for people to talk about this.
Yeah.
Which that said a lot to me. Yeah.
Do you think kids have intrusive thoughts? Because sometimes kids do real wacky stuff. Or do you think that's just like an undeveloped brain?
It also that question brings up like this idea of your brain not functioning at its fullest. And maybe that's why those thoughts are coming in. And maybe that's why kids are one big intrusive thought walking around. You know?
They're like, all of my thoughts are intrusive. I just learned to think. So every thought of my brain is being bombarded by intrusive thoughts. Again, not an educational episode. We obviously don't know the root cause of the intrusive thoughts, but I'm sure you guys can Google that.
Or don't, and we'll all just live in bliss and just pretend like everything's okay.
Oh, absolutely. I'm fine with that too.
This is like short and sweet, but I think, I don't know. We'll see what people say. If they want to talk about this more, we can definitely dive in deeper.
Yeah. We can have some guests on that can maybe be more educational and tell us about intrusive thoughts. That would be lovely.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to hear that, if you think less of us, stop listening. Just kidding. Don't go anywhere.
Hopefully this helps somebody.
Someone out there. Listen and know that we're with you.
You're not alone.
You're not alone in this.
And the next time you have an intrusive thought, just be like, Kay and Caro probably thought this too. Everything's fine.
We 100% have.
Yeah, because I definitely have. Okay, if you want to find out more about us, you can head on to our website, momsinthewild.com. We are available to be contacted in a multitude of ways.
Yeah, reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Respond to our Instagram questions.
Even if they're scary. Instagram's hard though, because there's like no way you could do it anonymously either. You know what I mean? It's like linked to that. True. So I get that too.
I do get that. Yeah. It was probably a big ask.
It was. Yeah. Next time we'll give you an anonymous win. Next time our expectation is you make a fake account and you go on that account and you tell us what you thought.
right.
In the DMs.
You can find us on Instagram at momsinthewild_pod. I think that's it.
Yeah, it's a jungle out there, folks.
Stay safe.
We love you.
Bye.